Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, where you can get real, honest opinions about films that are opening in your theaters soon, and every once in a while, an older film as well. So stay tuned. Enjoy what you're hearing. Don't forget to like us and follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how all that works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Ryan, welcome back to 2022. It's a brand new year, but we're still getting new movies.
Yeah.
Those haven't gone away yet. So that's good, right? Let's talk about one of them. Let's talk about an action film. How about that? As a way to jumpstart this year.
The first big action film of the year.
And there will be many more, I think.
In theory,
there will be many more. This is the 355 or the 355 or however you would like to pronounce it. This is a star-studded film. Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o, Diane Kruger, Penelope Cruz, Sebastian Stan, Bing Bing Fan, Edgar Ramirez. Yeah. It's okay. So just, you look at the cast, stacked, right? This is a stacked cast. That being said, let me read you the official, well, the official, the synopsis, and we'll use that as our jumping off point, shall we? When a top secret weapon falls into mercenary hands, a wild card CIA agent joins forces with three international agents on a lethal mission to retrieve it, as opposed to a non-lethal mission, while staying a step ahead of a mysterious woman who's tracking their every move. Now, as far as plots go, it's not terribly inventive. I think we've world-destroying goober, as Peter B. Parker would call it, I believe. The world-destroying goober is an old trope in your spy-type films. Bond has tracked down many a goober. Ethan Hunt has tracked down many a goober. So from a story standpoint, we're not off to a super start.
I think what you need to do is also read who directed this.
Let's talk about Mr. Kinberg, shall we? You pull up his IMDb page, and the first thing they show you is The Martian, Logan. Well, then they show you Fantastic Four and X-Men Days of Future Past, but he's just a producer on those.
Yeah, well, he was basically the guy that was in charge of the X-Men universe while I was at Fox.
Right, which is why that name seems terribly familiar.
So, yes, and while at Fox, he did produce a few other films.
Yes.
This is only the second film he's directed. The first film being
Dark Phoenix.
X-Men movie that, yeah, no one really
cares about.
Anyway. Well, no, Dark Phoenix is disappointing on multiple levels simply because it was them trying to redo something that they made a mess of the first time around, and second time didn't work either. But anyway, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, going in, you look at the cast and you think, oh, this is going to be a top shelf sort of thing. Right. You look at the plot, you think, well, I don't know. But here's the craziest thing for me is, if you watch the trailer,
mm-hmm.
And I don't usually watch trailers, but I had seen the trailer for this. The trailer in 2 minutes does a better job of setting up this film than the first hour of the actual film does.
I won't debate that on any specific point.
Because and actually the synopsis does a better job as well, because the first, I don't know, 45 minutes or hour of this movie is basically everyone doing their own thing and eventually going, all right, I guess we're going to have to work together.
Right. Yeah. And that's problematic.
And then by that point, we're halfway through and nothing has really happened.
No, it's like the longest expository portion of a film, I think, that we've seen in many a month.
Yeah. I can't help but wonder if they thought that they were making a TV miniseries or an event series.
Right.
And they could have, quite possibly, and pulled off such a long beginning. But when you've only got 2 hours,
right,
you kind of have to tell your story.
Yeah. So we can agree that the script is deficient in supporting the rather thin story element that we've got. Right? We can agree on that.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of action, except when there's not action.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of action. As we get in all of our spy chase action movies. There's a lot of running.
And there's a lot of shooting of people, but not a lot of bleeding people.
No.
Unless if you're in a fist fight, you can bleed. But
right.
Because this movie's PG-13, if you get shot, you can't bleed.
No, but there can be blood on the floor. But yes, you don't get the blood spray like you get in, say, John Wick.
Yes.
And that universe is just becoming our touchstone for everything action-oriented, but deservedly so. But no, you're right. It is PG-13. So the hand-to-hand violence is there. There's a lot of bullets, but not a lot of blood spray, but a lot of dead people on the floor by the time that's said and done. But it does give us, it does put a lot of action in the film. Bond style action or Mission Impossible style action. It tries a couple times for Wickian action, that up close, personal, tight quarters fight stuff, but it doesn't really pull that off. It's better when it's big, chasey kind of stuff.
Well, because they don't know how to film an action sequence without doing all the cutaways and the fast edits and things.
Right.
And while, I don't know, maybe some of the actresses in this film, you know, needed that to make their fighting convincing, I know that there are a number of actors in this film who don't. And so that's where that's kind of frustrating, is that your director or your choreographer is limiting the visual ballet or whatever, however, you know, that it could have been.
Right. So the editing then, but okay. So let's talk about this cast then, shall we? And who they are, because I've got this down. I call this, and let me get, not you, let you out there listening, let me get through all of this before you start losing your mind about how I start this. The movie is a veritable box checking exercise, in that we have a CIA agent, an MI6 agent, German intelligence, Chinese intelligence, and a Latin American intelligence, not agent, but psychologist. That is our cast of characters. So basically this film can appeal theoretically, because this is an ensemble film. It's not an American team of spies. It's not a British team of spies. It's not, you know what I mean? And they're all sharing screen time and bringing something important to their effort. So theoretically, we've got a wide net to cast for an audience, and we shouldn't alienate anybody because everyone's included in terms of national representation. Now, that being said, it is a really long process to get them all together. You're right. About 45 minutes, 50 minutes, pushing an hour before they all finally decide, well, I guess we better just, you know, actually get along and work together instead of this half-ass work together we've been doing for the last 10 minutes. Before the 45 minutes of not, or of working at cross purposes. So
even though they all had the same desired outcome.
Right. And again, I have an issue with one overarching point. And there's one, it's unique. Why don't we just destroy it? And then nobody has to worry about it. But that's separate. I would like to mention another film that actually has basically this exact same goober in it. And that, if you go way back and you watch Sneakers, the exact same goober exists in that film as this film. It is a magical circuit, one of a kind, that can hack anything. Obviously, the technology is a lot cooler now. So it's not Robert Redford and Ben Kingsley arguing about the goober in an answering machine case. But it is in fact the exact same goober. So you have these five women. We'll get back to our cast. We have these five women who all decide to work together. Now, that might put some people off. However, I think that the actresses we have are okay. And I would like to compliment the scriptwriters on one facet. This is not a man bashing movie, despite the fact that it's led by five females.
No,
they, this is not a man. They take a couple of shots at specific male characters, and deservedly so, as you watch the film, but it is not a man bashing movie. There is a difference. So yay for the scriptwriters for not just, you know, taking the easy way and going, but yeah. So that's a thing that people are going to consider when they decide whether they want to watch this movie.
Sure.
It is not that kind of movie.
No, their gender their gender kind of plays into it, but it's not all about it.
Right.
You know, yeah, it certainly allows them to be dressed more extravagantly in the final scenes of the film than perhaps otherwise. But
yeah, that is true. that is very true.
But no, you're right. You're not. It's not out there to. I don't think it's a political movie.
No, it's not an agenda movie.
Yeah,
it is not an agenda movie. And so that. I don't want to say that was nice. I'm just, that's a thing. You know, we have to look at movies like that now because people are trashing movies before they see them because of this garbage. And I prefer to trash a movie after I see it for perfectly valid reasons. But this is not a reason that is not a reason to trash this movie because that reason doesn't exist. It does not apply here. I would like to point out that I did watch this with my wife. And she enjoyed it, and she enjoyed the fact that it was not a man bashing movie. So she pointed it out, and I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, nice to know. But other than a couple of very specific references to very specific characters, you know, it's no different from any other ensemble action movie, which is weird to say. Now, you can debate the script and the story and all that stuff, and that's fine. But the performances are pretty good. I like the chemistry between the actresses.
Yes.
Overall. They worked well together. It's okay. It's an okay movie. But a lot of that is on the back end, not on the front end. This is not the actor's fault.
No, and I, you know, and again, I think going in, you know, they haven't really done a great job of marketing this film.
No.
In the sense that going in, I wasn't sure if this was going to be a Mission Impossible or an Expendables.
Or an Ocean's 11.
Or Ocean's 11.
Or Ocean's
and
8.
And Ocean's, yes. You know, and I think that ultimately when I was kind of surprised to learn that this is kind of an Expendables, despite the cast, it's kind of just, you know, a generic film with the performances are fine. The story's okay. But it's decidedly mediocre, which considering the cast to me feels like a major disappointment.
And it probably should. I said it's solid. It's a solid action movie, but again, heavy on action, which, you know, so if you're just looking at it from an action standpoint, then yeah, it's fairly solid compared to any other action movie out there. This isn't, you know, it's nice that it is not a blatant, franchise starter.
Although I mean,
it doesn't have to be. I mean, theoretically, you could make it one, but they do not come out. You know, because you know how a lot of films now they'll come out and they'll leave you at the end with that look out. Yeah. But this one doesn't. It leaves the door cracked, but it never points at it for you. I mean, you know what I mean. And I think that's good.
There's a lot of "see you again when I see you."
Right. But again, but it doesn't have to be.
No, it don't. No,
which is nice. Yeah. You know, because there's a lot of movies where they just foot stomp it for you.
Sure. This isn't Monster Hunter or whatever that. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So that I appreciated. They made it a standalone film that, like in the old days, if it does great and they decide they want to make more, they can. But it is in no way reliant on the idea that films will come after it. And that's the way you should do franchises. We've talked about this before. Make your movie now. If the franchise comes, then the franchise will come. But if your first, and like I said, I'm not saying they plan to franchise, but like I said, if your first movie doesn't work, you can't have a franchise. So I'm glad that this movie is clearly self-contained, however you decide to grade it. But it is self-contained, and I think I would have maybe been harsher on it if they'd have, you know, given you that really blatant wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the end, like, oh, there's more, and you know it's coming. And it's just like, you know what? Now you've just gone too far. So I like that they kept it insular, and, you know, this is your film. Go and watch it. It's like, okay. And in that aspect, it was fine. Mediocre, sure. I'll accept that answer. I probably liked it a little more than you did. Then, it's not great. It, like I said, it's just solid. It's if you just want to watch an action movie for 2 hours, you should have no problem. One bit of chemistry in this film really didn't work for me, and that was the one required romantic element in every action film. No matter who is the star. And I didn't buy that at all. It was poorly set up. It was poorly executed. And I just didn't feel it at all.
There are a lot of things I think in this film that feel like, why did that happen? Cause the script said it did. So, you know, it's like some of the, why are these people not stopping and having a conversation? Because it's cooler if they fight for a while. Or why does it feel like every country in the world is competing against each other? Well, you know, and I suppose you could say that that's not that the film could be trying to say something along those lines that you could back up with the way the world is right now. But that's not what the film is trying to do. It's just.
Yep.
It just does. It presents a story that works because it has to, I guess. It doesn't, there's not a lot of creativity there. There's not a lot of relationships don't seem to develop naturally. People don't necessarily do the things that you would think that they would typically do, but they do exactly what the story needs them to do.
Yep. And like I said, that's why this is more an action movie than, say, the later Mission Impossible films.
Yeah, it's not a thriller.
No, it is an action film. So you're right. It's closer to the Expendables, where, you know, bombs take just as long to explode as they need to. You have just as long to do X as you need to, or 1 second shorter, you know, or whatever it is. That's what it is. But again, so I just, it's as serviceable to me as an action film as any other action film. But it just, it doesn't rise above that in any way. So that's the downside, is, you know, it is exactly what it is. If you're watching it, you get all of your plot points moving forward and you're like, okay, we're moving forward. And then we get to the end and we're done. But yeah, it is exactly what it is, which it's not bad. It's just a fact.
Not great.
Yeah. Just, you know, so, like I said, it's fine. I won't tell people not to watch it, especially if you want to watch these actresses, you know, chew some scenery and shoot some stuff. So, you know, that's what they do. So but that's what the movie needs. That's what they do. That's their jobs. Except for the psychologist, that is not her job. So.
Unless it needs to be.
Unless.
Well, anyway.
Well, at the end, that was a separate argument. And that's a mother thing. That's not an agent thing. That's a mother thing. So okay. To be fair, even my wife pointed it out. She goes, no. I'm like, I know. I get it. Kids were involved. Got it. So that's a separate argument that one could do a series of episodes about, maternal instincts in action films. So like I said, it's fine. I don't know that Kinberg needs to do any more directing at this point, between Dark Phoenix and this, or he needs to take on something smaller and less grand, perhaps, you know, that he can actually work around. I don't know, but his list of production credits is impressive. Until you start actually ticking off the boxes on all those X-Men movies and determine which ones were actually good or not. So I'm not impressed. Like I said, the movie is fine. It's just fine. You say mediocre. I'm just above you on that. That's where we're at. So, there's two other movies coming out that we are not, unfortunately, going to get to talk about, this week. One is Torn. It's a documentary about mountain climbing again. Sort of. And the other one is called A Hero, which is an Iranian film. And it is their official entry for the Academy Awards, and we'll see if it makes the shortlist for Best Foreign Film. But those are two more films that actually open the same day as this, but they're all probably still going to die on the altar of Spider-Man, at the way Spider-Man has been going. But yes. We'll get to those. And there's more coming out. There still are. They bumped Morbius to April from the end of this month, because of COVID and whatnot. We'll have to wait a little longer.
And some would say that it's also because of the success of Spider-Man.
Sure. They're going to do some extra cuts?
I have no idea.
That would be my hope. But that's a separate argument. But yes, the next entry in the Sonyverse will be Morbius when it comes out in April. And theoretically, Spider-Man will not be ruling the box office at that point. End of this month... or 2 weeks from now, actually, Sundance opens, but not Real Doors, as they've had to cancel their in-person, or they've chosen to cancel their in-person portion. So they will be virtual again, but all of the same films will be playing. I have a nice long list. I'm waiting to hear about my virtual access. I know you're going to have virtual access. Hopefully we will get to talk about some of those, because there are some that look like they could be good. like good, good, or at least really interesting. So we'll have to see how those turn out.
Yeah, I'm hoping to really be able to sit down tomorrow and kind of
grab the list.
Game plan a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. That's like I said. I know which ones I want to see. Now for me, it's just a matter of waiting to see if they just tweak me over to however we're going to do it.
Yeah, so
we'll see how that goes. But so yeah, so we should be talking some Sundance around the end of the month, which would be nice. And like I said, there's still movies coming. It's still okay. So we will get back to you on all of those. But until we do, thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. Thank you for watching us on YouTube when we get stuff up there. And until we talk again, I'm Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you guys.
And we'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.